Hello and welcome to Real Questions, Real Answers on Contemporary Topics. I'm Moshe Schoenbrunn, and our guest tonight is Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg. Tonight's live is sponsored by Bits of Glitz. Thank you so much, Bits of Glitz, for sponsoring tonight's live. Hold on 1 second. And we have Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg coming up. Thank you everyone for joining us tonight. First full weekday of the new year. Hello, Rabbi Goldberg.
Hello, hello. A Gemar Chasima Tova.
Gemar Chasima Tova. Thank you so much for coming on, for taking the time.
Always a pleasure.
This is super busy season for a Rav of a shul, right before Shabbat Shuvah, right after Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and you're coming on with us. It is
tax season for sure, but there's nowhere I'd rather be.
Amazing. Okay, so if anyone has any questions, they can drop it into the question box. You could also pop it into the comments. If you do put it in the question box, it will remain pinned. So here we are. So Rabbi Goldberg, before we start, I was listening to Behind the Bima podcast, which is a must listen to. And there was a conversation about the virtual versus in-person Shabbat Shuvah Drasha. I just want to say from my personal experience, when my wife and I first moved out to campus to Tucson, Arizona, so we got used to the heat. We eventually got used to the lack of pizza stores and kosher restaurants, minyanim and all that. But the one thing that always hit me was Shabbat Shuvah, Shabbos HaGadol, when we didn't have a drasha. And then when COVID came around, that was the first time Shabbos HaGadol, the Rav's drasha was my first Shabbos HaGadol drasha that I heard in years.
Oh, wow.
So there are people like me out in the world. So I have a good idea as to how to still maintain the in-person presence. And you know, like some sporting games, the Buccaneers, they're playing, they have a blackout for the locals. So you can't access the virtual if you're local, but if you're outside the perimeter.
I like that.
Amazing.
I like that. I have to figure out. I'm not exactly sure how you do that with YouTube or whatever other streaming service. I'm not sure how you do that. It was a heart rate.
Yeah, we're back on.
Can you hear me? Am I good?
Yes.
All right. I think I'm coming in. I apologize. So it was a heart-wrenching decision because, you know, you can't compare watching something online while you're multitasking when it's in the background with being in a room. Torah, you know, Har Sinai, everyone didn't stay in their tents and we streamed Har Sinai to them. There was an experience of being at the base of that mountain. And Chazal understand that Torah is meant to be transmitted very much commemorating the way it was originally given. Restless or Bezea, we're supposed to feel intensity and enthusiasm and energy with a little bit of trembling, a little sense of the awesomeness and the grandeur of the moment. So that energy doesn't come across, as wonderful as technology is. We're taking advantage of it together tonight. And as much as a gift and as wonderful as it is, it cannot ever take the place of the energy. And I hear my incredible speakers, I am inspired. You know, it tugs in your heartstrings and it taps into your neshama and your soul in a way that doesn't come across online. So, you know, there's a gift of technology and there's a gift of Corona that we've been able to all expand what we are able to access and those who teach, be able to whom they teach, but it can never take the place of what we do offline.
Incredible. Okay, so we have a drop of technological lags, but we're still going to do this.
All right, I'm here.
Momentarily. Yes, yes, okay. So the first question is about Tzom Gedalia. So today was the fast day, and this is more general to all fast days, that with the externalization, the trends in the world that we're living in, and sometimes we go through the outer motions, and many times a fast day feels, I know myself, since 2 o'clock today, I've been thinking just about coffee and penne alla vodka. So, but really the fasting is not supposed to just be about, oh, I have a headache and when's my next food? And literally the whole day I've just been thinking about food. So, and this happens pretty much every fast. So would the Rav have some tips or advice in how to extract more of the essence?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. First of all, not to say that I've achieved them or lived them. We all struggle. I had a splitting headache the entire day and was desperate for the cup of coffee I'm finally enjoying now. Finally get that cup of coffee. I've been dying for it all day. So I think it's very simple. I think that, you know, we are made up of an animal soul and a godly soul. There's a piece of us that's physical, that's material, that's connected to the earth and to this physical world. And we eat, we drink, we eliminate what we ate, we reproduce. We very much have in common anatomically and behaviorally with animals. There's the animal soul in us, the nefesh bahami. There's, you know, what we call the animal impulse, the animal instinct. We eat like a pig, or we live in a pigsty, or we eat like an animal, or act like an animal. So there's that animal impulse, that animal instinct. That you're in turn want something so much more. We are a piece of God. There's literally God breathed life into us. We spoke about, I think last week when we blew the shofar, we were using the very breath that God put into us to begin with. We use that breath to produce the sound of the shofar. God, you're still in me. That breath is still inside of me. I'm still godly, disciplined, in control, sovereign. So every now and then, so God in this world is physical beings. We need to eat to live. We shouldn't live to eat, but we need to eat in order to live. We need to sleep. So God put us in this world and he wants us to enjoy the pleasures of this world. He doesn't want us to live a life of that. That is not a true Judaism. That is short, but that's not the true. On occasion, on these fast days, he wants us to remember that we're godly. We're not animals. So the more we emphasize the godly soul, the less we have our animal soul. The more that we indulge the animal impulse, then the less expression and the less we are in contact and in touch with the godly soul. So we're striking that balance all the time. Every day we wake up, we're in that battle and we're trying to strike that balance between the animal and me and the godly. That's what Rav Hirsch writes, what Karbonos, sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash. We're all about, God, I'm offering you this animal. I'm offering you the animal inside me. I'm burning the fats. I'm offering you the indulgences. I'm giving you blood. The wine libations, the nisach hayayin, that is luxuries. Nisach hamayim is the necessity. Well, I'm directing it all to you, but I slaughtered the animal. I'm slaughtering the animal in me. So what I try to think about on fast days, in between the cravings, and in between the caffeine withdrawal, and in between the splitting headache, what I try to think about is that those things don't define me. And only when I can live without it, am I entitled to live with it. When it doesn't define me, and it's not what I live for, and it doesn't determine who I am, but I strive to be something so much more. You know, an animal, the Maharal says, an animal walks around on all four. Behemas bama, what you see is what you get. The animal walking around on all four is facing the earth, because the earth is the, not only the means, is the ends. The animal just wants to indulge in the animal pleasures of this world. But the human being, we start out on fours, we crawl, but then we stand up, and then we walk on two legs, because we're not trying to face the earth, we're trying to reach the and we ascend up, because that's our ambition. Staying on a fast day, that's what we're trying to do, is to say, of course I need to eat, and I'll return to eating. But for 12 hours, for 24 hours, 25 hours, I want to live like an angel. I want to test run. I want to remind myself that I enjoy those things, but I don't need them. They don't define me. And only once I can make the statement to myself and others that I could live without, now I'm entitled to live with.
Got it. So the hunger pains are expected. It's really the response. So if the response is looking up recipes and cooking, and that's right, further emphasizing the animalistic side as opposed to leaning into the hunger and saying, this does not define me. That's really correct. Cool. I love that.
I am hungry. Exactly. I'll tell you another amazing idea. The Shulchan Aruch quotes, the Ramah quotes, there's a custom on a fast day to give tzedakah. We all know that. The whole reason we're fasting is to try to reflect and introspect, and we're trying to analyze our life and see, you know, is it too many Amazon Prime packages coming to my house? Is my whole life defined by the brand that I wear and the logo on my car and the size of my house? Is that too much of my life? you know, I have to live without. I have to remind myself that that's not who I am, what I'm supposed to be. It's not what should define me. So part of that virtue of introspection, self-reflection that day is to give tzedakah. So the Rama says, how much tzedakah do you give? You give the amount of three meals, the meals that you skipped. So is that just like a cute thing? Like you saved money on the meals you didn't eat. So now you give that to tzedakah. I don't remember what I saw. The Mishnah Berurah brings it down. I forgot what I saw. That the idea is you feel the hunger pains. Now you know what the poor person feels every day, not just a fast day. When we fast on these fast days and our stomach growls and we're counting down to when we have food and we're allowed to eat, that's how the poor person doesn't know where their next meal is coming from. That's how they feel every day. So Dafka, the day that we feel that, we should empathize. We should channel what we're feeling to have a sense of empathy to the people who feel it even more often.
Wow. That's deep. Okay, moving on. That's amazing. Moving on. We have a question here in the comments. I'm going to take that to heart. Yom Kippur, we can't really give, but amazing. So I heard today, this is from Mommy 071670. I heard today that some believe that the gates closed on Rosh Hashanah. And I was also told that we had until Yom Kippur to turn any decree. Which statement is true? I would add Hashanah Rabbah is the Gemar Din. And I'll join it to another question that we had pre-submitted was somebody was saying that they went through Rosh Hashanah and it was great while they were in Shul and the Shofar and the Sudas, they were all great. But now comes today and they feel like they're the same person again. And now they want to go looking forward. Yom Kippur's coming up. Like, how do we place ourselves in this Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Tim Gedalia?
Yeah, so those are overlapping questions for sure. You know, the Torah, Hashem, our rabbis all did a great job. And it's not that they were disingenuous with us, but the truth is, we know you can do tshuva. I think we talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago. You can do tshuva any day. You make a mistake in December, or you make a mistake in April or June, you can also do tshuva. Tshuva is not only during this time. It's that during this time, Hashem is more predisposed. Dirshu Hashem b'himatzo, which Chazal understand to mean, call out to God when he's close, a pasuk in Yeshaya. These are the 10 days, the 7 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. A melech b'tzar. The king is not only in the palace. Normally, the king's in the palace. There are layers. You got to be able to get past. You got to be able to get in. You got to use your protexia. You get 30 seconds in the Oval Office. What are you going to say with that time? Now the king's out and about. He's in the street. He's in your shul. He's at your kiddush. He's in your home. What are you going to take advantage of that time? How do we want to talk to him? So, yes, one can talk to the king all year round, but it's a little harder to get access, whereas he's much more accessible, much more readily available, much more predisposed to receive and to receive with favorably what it is that we're looking for. So Rosh Hashanah launches a period, not of judgment. Rosh Hashanah, we coronated God. We declared he's the king. Kabbalah sol malchus shemayim. We said, we're mamlech Hashem. We said, malchus to be mamlechim. God, you're the king. We work for you. You don't work for us. You run the world. We don't run the world. Really, we're going to conform our wants to your wants, not the other way around. We submit. We surrender. You're in charge. Now, that doesn't mean we sit back as passive spectators. We got to get up. We got to take our initiative. We got to do our best. But in the end of the day, after we've given it our all in Parnassa, in Shiduchim, in Shalom Bayis, in whatever area of life, we've given it our all. We've tried everything. And now, God, I submit. I surrender. Now it's really all up to you. I work for you. You don't work for me. You're in charge. I'm mamlech you. But when I coronate God as king, God says, okay, I'm the king. Let's say, who do I want in my administration? Who do I want in my cabinet? And that's what the Mishnah says. Everything in the world comes before God in judgment. Even the Halakha Instagram is judged by God. Will Instagram have a good year or a bad year? YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, what will be the latest? The chair, the blade of grass, the table, everything comes before God in judgment. Because God is the king, reincarnated, says, what do I want in my kingdom? What do I want in my palace? Who do I want in my cabinet? Who do I want in my administration? What will I bring back? And therefore, what happens is, on Rosh Hashanah, you'll notice, we didn't say any slichos. On Rosh Hashanah, we don't talk about chet, about the mistakes we've made. Rosh Hashanah is not a day of judgment in that way. But Rosh Hashanah kicks off, it launches these 10 days where now we're making our argument. From Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, God's going to make the decision, this is who I'm bringing back. This is who I want in my administration. This is who I want in my cabinet. This is who the world needs. And the world would be missing something if they weren't here. And therefore, we spend the week every day trying to make the compelling argument. God, I'm telling you, I'm here to serve you. Here's the difference I make. Here's my mission in this world. I understand it. I accept it. I'm ready for it. I want to enjoy the world. I'm going to get the pleasures from the world. But I'm here to serve you. I'm here to represent you. I am your ambassador. I'm your agent in this world. And that's why Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says that the secret, you want to be signed and sealed for a great year. The secret is be an ish haklal. If you connect yourself to the community, become an indispensable member of the community. Because what happens? Then on judgment day, you don't just say like, you know, me, private me, keep me around. Keep you around why? So you can binge watch Netflix. Keep you around why? So you can shop for more things. Keep around more. So you have more money. Or you say, no one else is collecting the Siddur Mechamashim at the end of the school. Keep me around because no one else is collecting those people checking on them. Nobody else is picking up the food. Nobody else is. So the more we attach ourselves and become indispensable, then God, we're making the argument. So Rosh Hashanah launches that period of our trying to persuade, make a compelling argument to God about why he needs to bring us back. Yom Kippur, he makes the decision. And while he makes that decision, really, he seals it more fully on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. And even then, really, on the eighth night of Hanukkah, Zos Hanukkah. And then even really then, it's a little bit later. So it's staggered and it's in stages, but all of it is meant to inspire us to continue to evaluate, continue to reflect, continue to stay steady. Now, the question of Rosh Hashanah, we were on fire, and now it's the day after, and we all feel like we're hit by trucks, and are we just reverting back to who we were? That's on us. That's on us. Those, they can't be empty promises and empty lip service. It can't be a wish list. We talked about this. It's got to be a resolution. Got to make a plan. I'll give you a shameless plug. I'm giving the Shabbos Shiva Drasha on Motzei Shabbos at 9 p.m., and it's all about our habits determine our future. How can we create the right habits, break the wrong habits? Our habits determine our future. We are the composite of the habits that we have. So you're right, you're on fire, Rosh Hashanah, making all kinds of promises and pledges, and God, this is going to be my year. This is who I want to be. This is what I'm capable of being. And I'm telling you, I'm on fire. The chazan, that niggun, this shofar, I just blew my mind. It was the alarm that woke me up. I'm ready. And then you just, the next day, go back to work and go back to carpool and go back to life. And you forgot everything you said and everything you promised. So it's all in the habits. How do we concretize? How do we capture? And how do we make sure that we transform what we promised and pledged in our mind and make it habits? I know I'm long-winded, but I'll tell you one more thing. I was curious. I didn't know why. We have a shtibel minyan in our shul, which is essentially Chabad guys. Chabad doesn't say slichos aseres mei tshuva. Some gedalia, yes, then no. It blew my mind. What do you mean? You say slichos before Rosh Hashanah? And then aseres mei tshuva, the week that we're trying to make the argument, you don't say slichos? So somebody sent me today, actually, inside. Somebody sent me the actual source. If I could pull it up, I would read it. Here's the origin of the minhag. You ready? Let's go. It says, minhag Chabad she'ein omer slichos aseres mei tshuva, u'mekor roma, comes from the machzor of Roma. And they asked the tzemach tzemach the reason. And he said, ad Rosh Hashanah avodihi b'di. Hashanah, it's all about promise. It's all about what you say. Enough with the talk. It's time to put it into action. They stop saying slichas aseres mei tshuva because go out. You're making the argument to God. Don't be in shul making the argument. Be out making the argument. Go do the mitzvahs. Learn the Torah. Do the chesed. Give the tzedakah. Volunteer. Get out, and that's when you're going to make the biggest difference.
Wow. Some of it was a drop choppy, so I'll just recap, make sure I got it. So the reason why Chabad is not saying Slichas Aseres Mei Tshuva, because we reach a certain point where we got to take all that inspiration that we got on Rosh Hashanah, we got from Slichas, and now we're going out and putting it into action, making it real. Listen to Rabbi's Matzah Shabbos Drasha, 9 o'clock. We already have some comments saying, I signed up to listen. We have... How do we get to the Matzah Shabbos Shuvah Drasha? Follow Rabbi Goldberg. You'll be able to find it. We have Ricky Whiteside. That was unreal. Mommy07, amazing answer. Thank you. I made it. Only Camilla Songs is here. Thank you, everyone, for commenting, for joining. Great stuff. Okay, one more question just in terms of Inyan Ediyoma, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur.
Sure.
We have Kabbalah's Minhag of Klal Yisrael. Jewish people for a long time have been taking on something special just for these few days, Aseres Mei Tshuva, 10 days of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. And the question is, if we know it's not going to last, is there what's the value in that? And I would add here a plug for Meaningful Minute. There's a great initiative tefillah before tech, to wake up in the morning and before logging into any sort of technology to first connect to tefillah, to connect to Hashem. And for me, I signed up, and I know that in the years past, we did the Chal V'Yisrael and Bishul Akum, you know, eating special foods. But now this is super meaningful, a great way to start your day. But I know this might not last. I'm going to try, but it might not last all year. How do we view that when a short-term resolution?
Sure. That's a great question. I once wrote an article about this because I thought the same thing. And I came across, I never attended it, but I came across, there's a gym. Again, I lost you again. All right, I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yes. A gym.
Can you hear me?
I'm excited. The gym, yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know what. I don't know if it's on my end. It's all from Hashem. I don't know why Hashem wants our technology to have some challenges tonight. So there's a gym.
Going great. Called, I love it.
Yeah, you can hear me though. Right, you'll tell me, well, I guess I won't hear you if you can't hear me. So it wouldn't help. Yeah. But there's a gym called, I think it's called Orange Theory, Orange something, and in classes it's I forget exactly the background of it, but they have what they call HIIT workouts. If you have a Peloton, you can take those kinds of workouts. In almost every form of exercise, you have the HIIT workouts, HIIT, high intensity interval training, high intensity interval training. And the idea of it is that you can't sustain that heart rate and you can't sustain that intensity long term, but you can do so for intervals. And if you do it for the interval, even though there's a period of recovery after the intense interval, in the end, you get an incredible workout. Somebody, I wrote this article, and then somebody who works out there actually sent it to the founder of Orange Theory, whatever, who I think is a Jewish person and who loved the metaphor. Because I said, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, this time of the year for us, is a high intensity interval training. It's an interval. So some of the things that we're taking upon ourselves, we're not naive to think that we're going to do it indefinitely. There are people waking up much earlier in the morning to get slichos in and to do more. There are people who are pushing themselves, extra learning, extra volunteering, extra chesed, extra boundaries with technology. And those things are wonderful. But the high intensity interval is not meant to become sustained. You'll break something. You'll tear something. You'll injure yourself. You can't maintain that intensity. It has to be for an interval. That's the best bet that you have that it's going to last. And the same is true. Whoop. You hear me? Did I lose you?
No, we're here.
The same is true. I think the same is true for us spiritually. So there are improvements and there are changes and there are transformations to our habits, and we want to last. There are those. Hold on. Maybe I should sign out and back in. Will that help?
I'm not sure how this works, but. I could hear. I get the. I'm getting 99%.
Okay, so there are things that we're trying to change, which we want to become permanent parts of our repertoire. We want them to change permanently. And again, the shameless plug. That's what I'm going to speak about on Motzei Shabbos. I have like 6 suggestions, practical, how the changes we've been waiting to make in our life we can finally make. They're changes that science and research, and long before them, Torah and Chazal told us that these are exactly the ways that we can make significant changes. So those aren't things that we want to only do for an interval. Those are things that we want to do. So I'm always late and I want to become more punctual and time sensitive. Here's how I change that habit. I never read and I claim I want to start reading or learning, or I want to work on my anger, my frustration. Here are ways I can make meaningful changes in my life. But some of the other things, like this amazing Meaningful Minute campaign and initiative, is an interval. It's a high intensity interval. And I think it's important for us to know and to name, here are the things I'm trying to change permanently. And here are the things that for this interval, I'm pushing myself for this week, for these 10 days, like you referenced, you know, Pas Yisrael. Whatever we take on, maybe it's not something we're prepared to do regularly. We're doing it for an interval. So I think that's very important to name what our commitment is, it'll be much more that I'll be able to do it.
Incredible. So there is that great value in that high intensity, like Orange Theory has, and then to be able to identify what are we doing. I'm sure you watched Orange Theory, that walking 3 miles per hour on a treadmill and at high intensity, and to have that clarity and know the balance and to come in with that wholesome approach. It's really cool. Okay. Transitioning. Yeah. Any questions, follow-ups, feel free to add it in the comments into the question box. Transitioning to a community, and we're running out of time as always feels like we're running out of time here. And so this is it was hard hearing this question. And I'm very curious on the Rav's response. I was talking to somebody who's an older single, so higher 20s, lower 30s, has been in Shidduchim for a while. And the sentiment that was being expressed was that he and many of his friends feel that they don't have a space in the community. They have meals, they get invited out, but they always feel as beholden to somebody else's plans, that the community itself is not set up. It's set up either for families, which is great, or it's set up for teenagers, for the youth. But there's a large segment, emerging adults, that feel that they don't have a space, and that the words were that the greatest pain of being single is not that we're not married, but that we don't feel part of the community. And I was wondering if the Rav had some perspective or insight on this emerging
problem. We definitely need to all do better. That's the first thing, is not to get defensive, to say no, we're great, we're perfect, and you feel that way. We're imperfect, and we fail. We fail a lot of segments of our community, and we need to do better. We could do better, and we have to do better, and we will do better, whether it's singles of all ages, people who are Balei Tshuva, converts. We're struggling to find a place in our community, whether it's widows and widowers. And the MPS population sometimes feel like they're the margins of the community. There are people in the margins of the community, and we must all do better. Make sure that we include, we involve, that we're sensitive. I think that a rabbi's drushes have to not make assumptions. You give drushes that assume that everybody there has children and a wife. It's just not sensitive. It's not kind. It's not nice. The structure of the shul and the shul dues and the membership shouldn't make assumptions about people and their marital status. So we can do better, and we will do better, and we have to do better. And the best way we'll do better, which is really the second part of what I want to answer, is when we understand better. And we'll understand better when the people who are going through it become leaders in our community. So if those who are single say to the rabbi, say to the shul president, first of all, there's no reason they can't be on the board. There's no reason they can't be in leadership positions. They can't be officers. They can't be the president. And they can bring to our attention the areas where we need to be sensitive, where we need to do better. They can advocate, they can represent the segments of the community, the demographics that are not, needs are not being met the right way. I think we talked about in one of the previous questions and answers, something about singles, where I said, being single is an enormous part of a person's life. So much of Jewish communal life centers around the family structure. It's an enormous amount. I don't mean to minimize it in any way, but, it is not the total identity of a person. You could be the masman of the Beis Medrash. You could be the gabbai, the Baal Koreh. You could be the president, the vice president. You could be a lay leader. You could be a chairman. You could come up with a fantastic initiative. You can lead a great campaign. You can transform the community. So sometimes don't wait for others to carve space for you. Go make space yourself. Step up and stand up and create that Thursday night cholent, mishmar, learning, spiritual, whatever. Go create the great initiative that no singles are ever alone, that singles have events and singles have meals and singles are invited out and people are paired up. So don't always wait for others to make that space. Go make the space yourself by having the fact that you're single not be the sum total of who you are, but it's one component of who you are. And there's so much more to who you are. And if others don't recognize that, that's a problem in them, not in you. And surround yourself by the people who do see the complexity and the deeper part of who you are beyond just the marital status box and what you check, whether it's single or whether it's married. So in our community, we have lay leaders who single, married, divorced, widowed. Marital status does not influence what degree you could be involved in shaping our community, leading our community, having vision for the community, influencing the shapers of the community. And so don't sit back and don't wait. Have great ideas and make a big difference. I'm seeing across, not only during COVID, which empowered people, schools were shut down and schools are still fighting to reopen. And during Corona, a lot of backyard and neighborhood and tent minyanim, now living room minyanim, the success, and I think in many cases, the reason people are struggling to come back to shul is, in shul they felt invisible. In shul they felt in the margins. But in the backyard, in the tent, in the living room, in the driveway, I was the gabbai. I was the balkon. I gave the Dvar Torah. I was the one who, you know, organized the shalashuddis, the kiddush. So our job as a community is to say, all the people who discovered and found their leadership qualities, don't stay outside the shul to realize them. Bring them into the community, because there's no end. It's limitless, the possibility of the things that we could work on, the difference that we could be making together. Bring the great ideas. So there is this grassroots movement going on in Klal Yisrael right now. The Thank You Hashem movement, Meaningful Minute. Nachi can correct me. You can correct me. I don't think it's like a team of rabbis who are like, Nachi, go create a Meaningful Minute and we're going to dictate to you what to do. There are these grassroots movements of people who said, I see a need and I want to fill it. And I want to fill it. And with an energy and with an enthusiasm, with an neshama, and I want to fill it. So single, married, young, old, widowed, divorced, don't wait for others to make that space. You go create that space and be a leader in making a space for the other people who might feel it there in the margins of community.
It's such a great answer. Such a great answer, because part of the sentiment was, yes, there's what was so hard to hear was bias against the single status, and that was so hard for the people to hear. But they are going out now and carving out their own spaces, and hearing it from the Rav, I'm sure would encourage that even more, to go out, carve out your own space. Keep going out there, and like Rose said, Meaningful Minute, it's not top down, it's the bottoms up, and it's really that grassroots movement that's creating that real. When it's coming from the bottom up, that's when you know it's real. That's when nobody else is telling you to do it, and people connect to that more than ever, I believe.
Yeah, and I think that, listen, if a rabbi wasn't, I don't think that Rabbanim have a bias against single people. I think they can be insensitive, and it's kind of it's an unintentional crime. So when a single person, that's how I've learned and I've grown my entire rabbinate, you know, mitalmida yosa mikulam. I learn from the people who've made me more sensitive. So a single person's in the audience of a drasha, and the Rav gave a whole drasha making a lot of assumptions about getting married or being married or children, then, you know, gently in an email, have a meeting kindly and say, Rav, I know you love me and I know you have the best intentions. You may not realize it, but when you say X, it really makes me and all those like me feel why. And can I suggest humbly that maybe if you had put it like this, you could get the same message across without unintentionally alienating or hurting people that you don't want to hurt. So you could sit in the background and stew. You could talk about it at the Shabbos table. You can feel like a victim, or you can be part of the solution and you can bring awareness. Now, if you brought that awareness and the other parties continuing to be insensitive, and it's complicated. I'm not sure what you do. Maybe you have to move to switch shuls. I'm not sure what you have to do. But I think that everybody has a role. Everybody can influence and have an impact.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Rav. Thank you for your time on a busy Thursday night. But what a way to start out the year. Thank you, everyone, for joining us and for bearing with us in the slight delays.
I'm sorry. I don't know.
It might have been my end. But I think it was great. We got it all. Deep answers. We had some more questions pre-submitted, but we were out of time. So we'll have to do this again hopefully soon if Rose is willing to come back on.
Absolutely. We're looking forward. Thank you so much. Wishing everybody a Gemar Chasima Tova. Everybody should be signed and sealed for a year of bracha, parnasa, nachas, shalom, bayis, a year of only good health and happiness. Hashem should answer kol mishalos libeinu latova. All of us should be happy and healthy. And the best, the next year should be the best year that we've ever had.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
Take care, everybody.
And thank you, Bits of Glitz, for sponsoring this live. And as well, if anyone wants to catch the Rav's Shabbat Shuva Drasha, Rabbi Goldberg, it's going to be 9 p.m. at BRS Online. You can check it out there. 6 practical, effective habits, effective ways of establishing real habits. Thank you everyone for joining us. It's been great. And thank you for submitting questions. You could submit questions throughout the week, and we will eventually get to all of them, God willing. All the best.